If you have your Bibles with you, or if you want to reach out to the pew rack in front of you, Isaiah 62 will be the text that we'll be walking through over the next few minutes. Actually, starting in Isaiah 61, verse 10, and then into 62. It is the season of Christmas, and for those of you who maybe aren't as familiar with the church calendar that we follow on a week-to-week basis, the season of Christmas lasts for 12 days. 12 days of Christmas. And so we get to start our Christmas celebration on Christmas Day, and then continue that through two Sundays and for 12 days. So today is the fourth day of Christmas. And so I'd encourage you to embrace that reality that Christmas is a 12-day celebration. Call in sick on Monday. Just continue however you can to celebrate the 12 days of Christmas. And remember that it's a season. It's not just a day. Everything just doesn't need to get done in one day. But really, it's a season. It's a journey. It's a 12-day walk through the season of Christmas, as we look forward to the season of Epiphany, which starts on January 6th. The title that's in your bulletin is not quite accurate. I've elongated that title a bit. We're going to talk about new clothes, a new name, and an old story. New clothes, a new name, and an old story. So, as we look at the first part of Isaiah 61, there's this feeling of a bridal party or a wedding, bride and groom. And so I want to talk about being new clothes people. Isaiah 61, verse 10, "For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation." And this is more than just, oh, isn't this great, I've got Christmas clothes and now I'm going to wear them type of clothing. This is the clothing of salvation that we're talking about as we read this text. The clothing of salvation. What does the clothing of salvation look like for a new clothed people? Well, I invite you to, if you've got your Bibles open, you could flip over to Colossians 3, verse 12, where Paul writes, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with," and Debbie's already talked about this morning, "clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful." What does it mean to be a new clothed people? Well, I would highlight these words of being a people of compassion, a people of kindness, a people of humility, a people of meekness, a people of patience. We are not, as it might be phrased, dressed up with no place to go. We're given these garments of salvation for a purpose, so that we might be springs of righteousness and praise before all the nations. So just like you and I wouldn't put on our new Christmas clothes and run into the basement and do renovations or paint a wall, instead we go out. Shouldn't it be the same for us as the people of God? A going out, all the places that we might be called to, being a people who witness to a God who transforms. A people who've been saved for something. A people who've been given a great salvation so that we might declare it to others. And I know sometimes we can be a people who declare compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience. But sometimes we need to declare that to each other, don't we? And simply be a people who receive compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. I am not a great driver when I'm by myself. And I was thinking about this patience thing even this week as I cut someone off, and then they proceeded to honk their horn and wave that one-finger salute to me for about a block. And I realized that, yeah, I need to be a new clothes person and declare this kind of stuff, but I also am so much in need of patience, of kindness, of compassion. Oh God, help us to be a new clothes people. In the second half of our Old Testament reading, there's this encouragement to be a new name people. In Isaiah 62:2, you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. And perhaps the imagery of the first part doesn't work for you because maybe you haven't been to a wedding, or maybe you haven't been in a wedding, or maybe you didn't get any new clothes for Christmas because you were trying not to feed the consumeristic machine. But how about a new name? What does it mean to be a new name people 4 days into the season of Christmas? Does the glitter and glamour of Christmas leave you with a new name? If they don't, then Yahweh does. Yahweh does not let us down. As the toys are breaking, as the cookies are going stale, as the temperature once again dips to subhuman temperatures, with no sight of a southern Alberta balmy Chinook wind in sight, Yahweh does not stay silent. Yahweh does not rest. In verse 62:1, we see Yahweh holds out a burning torch of salvation for us. And he says, you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. And you shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord. And you shall be a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Now, I don't know what that imagery sets up for you, but there's this two-handedness of God, a crown of beauty and also a royal diadem in the hand of our God. And there's an air of royalty to this phrasing, to these verses, isn't there? And that's not meant to pump us up or make us feel arrogant or snobbish, but there is an air feel to this language. And it made me think of 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter, an ordinary fisherman, gets it. He gets this idea of being a royal priesthood, even though he's a very ordinary disciple with an ordinary past and an ordinary vocation. And he writes, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are a new name people. And there is a sense of royalty. There's a sense of holiness. There's a sense of priestliness to this. And maybe if royal priesthood doesn't work for you, I was talking to a colleague this week, and he said, well, maybe royal priesthood doesn't work, but maybe bridge builder works. Because priests were really bridge builders. And maybe God, maybe if you can't handle priesthood, I'd encourage you to try to handle it, that you're a saint. But if you can't handle that right today, maybe think of it as being a bridge builder. Maybe God wants you to be a bridge builder for his word to be received by others. Or maybe he wants you to be a bridge builder of relationships that you're connected with. But we're a chosen race. We're declared to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, called out of darkness into not just light, but marvelous light, the scriptures tell us. Once we were a people, but now we're God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we receive mercy. We are called to be these new clothes people. We're called to be these new name people. I hope that we can hear on this last Sunday of 2008 the word of the Lord. With new clothes, the clothes of royalty. With new names, chosen, royal, holy, God's own people. So I want to talk about this new clothes, these new clothes. I want to talk about this new name, but I recognize that these new clothes and these new names come from an old story, don't they? And here we are on the other side of Advent, a telling of the old, old story of a promised Savior. One who earlier in Isaiah is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And if you're here on Christmas Eve, we took some time to reflect on those names of Christ. And today I'd like us to remember that we are foretellers of this old, old story. And as foretellers, we don't tell it from this broken state. Instead, we tell it as a people who have these new garments on, as a people who have these new names. We're a people who've been blessed in so many ways, and yet we're called to go, we're called to share this good news. And wherever we're called to today, or wherever we're called to this week, or this month, or in the year of 2009, let's remember that it's a privilege to be a people who share this old, old story. I want us to close with some reflections on what it might be to be this new clothes, new name people. And I wonder if today you have some stories that you might be able to share. And I'm not going to force you to share a story, but if you have a new name story, or if you have a new clothes story, where you really have understood what it's meant to receive those garments of salvation, I would love to hear that story. And I know we don't usually do this at First Edmonton, but we do have a roving mic, and I'm just going to pause for 30 seconds, and if you feel like God is saying, I think I need to share a new name story or a new clothes story, I want to give you that opportunity. I'm only doing this because, you know, it's that Sunday between, you know, and you can kind of get away with stuff, and lots of the other regular people aren't here, and I'm not going to get a bunch of hate mail over this. Or not. Anyone? I'm gonna turn on my cordless mic. Just a new name thought, or a new garment story where you feel like you have something new to share in your God story, in your journey. Maybe it's just a phrase. I won't embarrass you by putting the mic in front of you. Okay, I'll take it down a level. Awkward silence in the sanctuary of our Lord. New name, new garment. Okay. I'm okay with that. Something for us to reflect on, though, isn't it? That we've been clothed with these garments of salvation. And they're garments of compassion, they're garments of humility, they're garments of gentleness. And we this week, we this coming year get to be ambassadors who share these garments, who share the realities of what wearing these garments means. And new names. We're going to close with a time of prayer, and I want you to simply rest in the Lord and think about how God might be calling you with a new name. Or how God might be wooing you with a new name. Even today, Even in a season of rejoicing, or a season of mourning, or a season of challenge, what might God be giving you as a new name today? I'm going to give a little reading before we go into that moment, these moments of silence and reflection. Because if you don't have a name, I want to suggest a name. And that name is the Beloved. And many of you are hearing me talk about Henry Nouwen as being a mentor in my life, a writing mentor. And so as we go into a time of silence and reflection and reflecting on being a new close or a new name people, I want to read a reading, and I'll just ask you to close your eyes and hear this reading and then some silence. God loved me before I was born. Jesus came to share his identity with you and to tell you that you are the beloved sons and daughters of God. Just for a moment, try to enter this enormous mystery that you, like Jesus, are the beloved daughter or the beloved son of God. This is the truth. Furthermore, your belovedness preceded your birth. You were the beloved before your father, mother, brother, sister, or church loved you or hurt you. You are the beloved because you belong to God from all eternity. God loved you before you were born, and God will love you after you die. In Scripture, God says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." This is a very fundamental truth of your identity. This is who you are, whether you feel it or not. You belong to God from eternity to eternity. Life is just a little opportunity for you during a few years to say, "I love you too." In some moments of silence and reflection, receive and celebrate your garments of salvation and hear your name. Maybe it's Beloved, or maybe it's another name. Hear that today in the sanctuary of God. And because you're children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. Thank you, gracious God, for speaking to us, for ministering to us through the power and presence of your Spirit, through the living Christ, we pray. Amen.